2 weeks ago, I got the sweetest text message with a gift article attached. I'm always so touched to hear from this dear friend, but I especially love when he sends me brain candy. I stopped reading the article six lines down when the author quoted Rebecca Solnit, "The spaciousness of uncertainty, the realm of possibility." The spaciousness of uncertainty, the realm of possibility. I did not finish reading the article then, but texted him immediately. Can we podcast about this? And with all the confidence and ease of well-being of a Buddhist priest, he said, sure, let's do it. And so I invite you to today's podcast, a continuation of a series of enthusiastic text messages between wise old friends. Welcome to The Behaviorist with Work Wisdom, where we help you adopt high-performance mindsets, behaviors, communication, and culture. I'm your host, Kedron Crosby. Our intention for The Behaviorist podcast is to share accessible, concrete practices that you can weave into your whole life to begin a shift toward joy and meaningful achievement. Today, we're learning to love uncertainty. We're grateful to be talking with my generous friend, Dr. Christopher Peterson. Chris is the chairman of the Department of Anesthesiology at Lancaster General Health, Penn Medicine. He's also a Buddhist priest. Chris was a member of the Work Wisdom team for 5 years, and he's a wonderful cultivator of awareness, hope, and healing. And I hope he'll rejoin Work Wisdom soon. Thanks for connecting with me today, Chris. I can't believe this, but we are in season 7. This is our 7th year of doing The Behaviorist, and you were on the first podcast that we ever did back at Lancaster Newspapers on West King Street. Do you have any memory at all of that?
I do.
What's your memory of it?
It was a first for me. It was kind of like plunging, where you just say, yeah, I'll do something I've never done before. I think we had good discussion. And, it's really grown since then. And some of your podcasts have been so good. I've, shared them with peers at work. And it's a wonderful thing. So I was glad to be there at the beginning and back again. So thank you.
Well, I was thinking about it. You embraced uncertainty then, didn't you? Just by saying
a little bit.
Sure. What's a podcast? Let's do it. Right. So I guess my first question is, how did you know that I would love this article so much?
Oh my. Well, when I find something that is helpful to me and hooks me, I think, who else is like me in this area and who, could appreciate it and benefit from it? And you popped up there.
Yeah.
And also, I think you're always looking for ways to improve the workplace. Yeah. And I think dealing with uncertainty is one of the big challenges today. I mean, that's how I saw this article too. How can I take it and share it and make people realize that there might be benefits to changing their behaviors related to uncertainty. So, and the other thing is I thought too, you always give me good feedback and make me think about things in different ways. So there's some selfishness probably to sharing this too, hoping I'd hear back. And sure enough, here we are.
Yeah, here we are. Yeah, there's no better way to chew on an idea than to podcast in front of thousands of people, right?
Right.
I appreciate the article so much, and I love that it's pushing the thinking on uncertainty. And so, I feel like there's been quite a lot written over the last 4 years, starting in 2020. People started talking about how do we constructively manage uncertainty? How do we tolerate uncertainty? And we can talk a little bit about that. But what I loved about this article you sent me by Maggie Jackson, the author of this guest essay that we'll put in the notes on the podcast, is she was saying it's time to push beyond tolerance of uncertainty. And I think you and I both believe that too, and that we want to push beyond tolerance, but maybe even learn to love uncertainty. So it's a different framing of uncertainty. What do you think? Is it going too far to say, how could we learn to love uncertainty, especially in the workplace? What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's absolutely fine to go that far.
Okay.
And I think there's a spectrum of understanding and embracing uncertainty. And I think that probably at the far end is the loving. Mm-hmm. But I think as you go there and you learn that each step, there'll be benefit to you. And I kind of chewed on this a little bit. And I mean, if it's okay for me to break some of the things down that I saw, it's like, first of all, there's this randomness and unpredictability of life that exists. Mm-hmm. And things are so complex that the more complex a system is, the more difficult it is to predict the future of it, or the ups and downs. And this is not just, this exists even in universal wisdom. I mean, one of the sayings in Zen is the world is vast and wide. These are three things to somebody said once, Zen is easy. Be kind. Remember the world is vast and wide, and pay attention. Mm-hmm. So this is the vast and wide part, I think. And not only is life unpredictable, but the way we see the world tends to make us want to predict or think we can predict what's going to happen. And if you really think about what we're trying to predict, is we're trying to attach ourselves to the good things and avoid the bad things. Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of what it's all about. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, okay, if I don't want to brace uncertainty, I'd like to hope that things will occur that I like and can attach myself to, or the others. And both of those things are in Buddhism. I think that these are the two poisons that contribute to suffering. Mm-hmm. So attachment and avoidance, okay, which are the things you're trying to do. And the third is ignorance, which is the unclear ways of doing things. So the fact that we're unclearly trying to predict what's going on is another one of those like poisons that goes into this mix. The question is, knowing those two things, how can we dance with uncertainty? Mm-hmm. And one of the terms we use is the wisdom of not knowing. Mm-hmm. You probably heard me use that mm-hmm. before. And some of the article, when you dug a little deeper into this, some of these things not only have been associated with like generalized anxiety disorder. Like if you don't like to embrace uncertainty, there's a higher chance that you're going to have anxiety disorder. Mm-hmm. And there's some good studies. And really, the article that I shared with you kind of tied some of the thoughts that I had to actual scientific studies, which is what I liked. I liked that association.
I really like what you had to say about so much of our efforts to reduce uncertainty is seeking to attach ourselves to what is positive. And of course, if you believe that growth comes from struggle and growth comes from moving through what is negative or even painful or uncertain, my fear is that if we are only looking for certainty and we're trying to make our lives as certain as possible, that we're really not growing. And so as a doctor, as a dad, as a priest, what's your reaction to my thinking there.
I believe you're right in a lot of ways. I mean, I think two things. I think that not only realizing that there may be negative things, but thinking that you know what's right, like you know what's best for you, as opposed to what the universe is going to present to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you've already made that decision in your mind.
Mm.
So to allow the universe to present something to you, and then it may not be what you wanted, you do need to respond and grow. And exactly like you say, this is where the growth comes. This is where the fun is. This is where you learn to, like the spirit of love, like this is where this question started, was mm-hmm. how can we love uncertainty, is you learn to dance with life.
Mm-hmm.
You're not just learning to avoid the negatives mm-hmm. and grasp to the positives. You're mm-hmm. learning to have the fullness of what the universe is showing you
mm-hmm.
and allowing it to unfold and embracing what unfolds in a responsive way is the creativity of life. And so I think that's at the far end.
Mm-hmm.
Like along the way, it might be to notice that there are some benefits to uncertainty. And then how do I cultivate myself to learn to embrace these things? And then once I do this and see it, you begin to trust it. And I mean, at some point I was going to go in the direction of is the embracement and love of uncertainty really trusting the universe?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is there...
I think it might be.
Yeah. So when you can trust the universe, then you can relax.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You're like, I mean, everything we fear is ultimately going to happen to us, probably.
Mm-hmm.
We're all going to get old. We're all going to die. Mm-hmm. And these are the big questions in life. And yet... everybody goes through those things
mm-hmm.
and everybody comes out the other end somewhere
mm-hmm.
and to hide from those things and to think you can control and manage them, you know, be it your business, be it your relationships, be it anything, your own longevity and demise, you start to relax and let go and mm-hmm. cling less and just trust that this is going to happen. I think that's a big shift. And like, I think it takes some work to get to that place where you make that shift.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's where the fruits of this ultimately would come to be.
I love that the psychologists are starting to name it, and they're calling it uncertainty tolerance or intolerance, and measuring our tolerance for uncertainty or our intolerance for uncertainty. I am fascinated by the fact that they're saying some psychologists believe that uncertainty intolerance is rising. There's more intolerance for uncertainty. And in the article that you shared with me, they said they don't really know why this is happening. Maybe it has to do with our devices. And our devices are making so many things more certain. What time our Uber's coming to the minute, you know, and
right.
Our food and everything like that. Do you have any opinions about why uncertainty intolerance might be increasing?
I do. I mean, I have a sense just from my own life and people around me that more people are in a survival mode more mm-hmm. now. I think people sincerely believe the more they have and the more they do, the happier they will be. So again, trying to adjust your future and being afraid of not getting those things is more prevalent than maybe it used to be in time. I think when you look at the exponential changes of technology
mm-hmm.
and what it means to live in our world, we haven't had time to adapt. Like
yeah.
it's happening too fast.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I like the book Sapiens
mm-hmm.
talks a lot about this. I mean, if our genus, Homo,
mm-hmm.
like man, It's about 2.5 million years mm-hmm. old. And our species, sapiens, Homo sapiens, is about 300,000 years old. So over that time, we had time to adjust to things. There were certainly uncertainties, but they were limited mm-hmm. in quantity. And all of a sudden, there's so many things mm-hmm. that, like, this, the complexity of the system has gotten so big, so fast, that we can't adapt. And I think that has something to do with it, too, like this loss of control, mm-hmm. like people wanting to find control as opposed to, like, when can I let go? When can I trust? When can I embrace this?
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's harder based mm-hmm. on those things. The other thing is, I think there's a loss of resilience in people,
mm-hmm.
Physically and mentally.
Tell me more. What do you mean by that?
I think, like you brought up before, like adversity allows you to grow. And I think people seek out comfort more than we used to, in a way. Mm-hmm. I think because we have opportunities to do that. I mm-hmm. think because we have luxuries, mm-hmm. that is very easy to, curl up on a couch and watch TV all mm-hmm. weekend. And so your mind isn't really being tested.
Mm-hmm.
You're being physical. You're not really being tested. I think some people put themselves through exercise and stress, but there's also this idea that aging is kind of the result of avoiding difficult things and seeking comfort. As you get older, you tend to do less, you tend to spiral into a scene. So the people that actually keep challenging themselves, keep going out and walking in the snow, doing these things, are the people that tend to be more resilient mm-hmm. when they're faced with other things. So
mm-hmm.
I think just the world has changed
mm-hmm.
and that has something to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the other thing I'd say too, and this is always something that that shocked me, is a lot of people don't talk about the things that you're talking about here. And once I started to discover, like, seeing things in a different way, I realized there's so many things that were never taught in school. My mm-hmm. parents didn't teach me. They probably didn't know them. And why has this information, like the idea that you can embrace uncertainty and it would, somehow shift your suffering? I mean, because if you think about it, it's like there's the suffering of wanting things to be different and then not getting them. And there's also this idea too, which I think, and you probably know this, is like the mind has evolved, the human has evolved to focus on negative things and retain negative memories more than positives.
Mm-hmm.
So when we look at the future, we're more worried about the negatives and think it's going to be a negative place mm-hmm. than we don't look at the future and think, oh, all these good things are going to happen, just because we wouldn't have survived if we were always chasing after the good things and neglected the saber-toothed tigers or the things like that. So, I mean, I think we have a predisposition to do that. And then when you project this into the future, that it's going to be negative and you worry and you go through the machinations, I think that's some of what creates the anxiety part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What I found interesting about this is that one of the studies, I think it was done at Ohio State, there was a stimulus that would come up that would be uncertain, but if it was predicted to happen, that stimulus caused different areas of the brain to fire and different things to happen. If it was like uncertain, a different response happened. And the study showed that people that had an unusual response in that part of the brain to the stimulus of uncertain stimulus, mm-hmm. those were people that were more likely to have post-traumatic stress disorder, general anxiety,
awesome.
Neuroticism, things
yeah.
like that. So it suggests that there's like a neurochemical, neurobiological component to this. Now that part of the brain, and I kind of looked at this morning, is the anterior insular cortex, mm-hmm. which is just a name, but the anterior insular cortex connects to a part of the brain that is very important in meditation, the anterior prefrontal cortex, mm-hmm. and it's very close and it sends signals to that. And this is one area that meditation science is focused on, because mm-hmm. people that meditate a lot, that part of the brain becomes active, bigger, mm-hmm. and allows you to process things differently as opposed to just react to them. So it makes me think that through meditation, you can modulate this abnormal signaling.
Yeah. I agree 100%. And that Ohio State research was fascinating to me too, that those higher levels of uncertainty and tolerance were associated with more maladaptive coping mechanisms. But in contrast, those who struggle less with uncertainty were more likely to accept the realities of the situation. And, you know, as an executive coach, one of the first things I encourage my clients to do is to adopt some sort of meditation or mindfulness practice to create those new neural pathways so that they can, what I teach is hold the tension, so that while they're moving through periods of uncertainty, they can hold that for their organizations without overreacting, with non-attachment and wait to see what unfolds. There might be magic on the other side of that. But if we react with negativity or maladaptive coping mechanisms, we won't get to the magic. So I think, Chris, I think it's wonderful that you're bringing that up, because it's exactly what I've seen in the real world too. Yeah. I love the idea of microdosing uncertainty. And I encourage my clients and my family to microdose uncertainty as much as possible, because it builds our tolerance for big uncertainty in our life. If we know that we're capable of dealing with little uncertainties. Our daughter Therese has this great habit. She goes to the movie theater in Philly every Sunday afternoon and just shows up and she watches whatever they happen to be playing. And I love it as an example. You know, I think when I lived in Baltimore, I didn't have a car and I would take the bus to and from work every day. That was microdosing uncertainty all the time with public transportation. Now I don't do that. But do you have any habits for microdosing uncertainty for yourself that you can think of off the top of your head?
Oh, man.
I don't mean to put you on the spot.
No. Well, I do try to practice the wisdom of not knowing. So when I go to a situation that I'm, even here today, like I approached it with the wisdom of not knowing. Like, I don't know what to expect, but it's going to unfold and we'll see what it's all about. So I try to consciously do that. I think that sometimes I've, with my job, we see a lot of patients, and some people can be difficult. Some people are a joy. And when I'm with them, I try to open my heart and myself to whatever they're going to give me and try to respond to it. And I try to make that conscious effort when I walk in the room. And there have been some amazing things. And what's really interesting is even people that start off a little rough, sometimes if you have that wisdom of not knowing, mm-hmm. or you're just there to listen to them and not judge them and take them down the path that they're trying to lead you, you realize that there's a lot underneath that person, mm-hmm. that comes out, and it makes it a richer experience. So again, kind of practicing those things, you get the feedback like, oh my, like this was wonderful talking to this person, yet I might have dreaded it if I, you know, went in with a preconceived idea.
Yeah, so you're holding that uncertainty and staying present, and that changes the destiny.
Yes.
Of that engagement.
Yeah,
I think that's one of the most beautiful things of embracing uncertainty.
Another little thing we have in our group, we have this what's called an away order. So people are released from work as the work gets done, and you go down the order. So where you are in the list, if you're at the bottom of the list, you're the last guy. If you're near the top, you might get out early. So there's always this hope, I'm going to get out early. Mm-hmm. And some people pay a lot of attention to their out order. Some people try to monitor and see what's going on so they can predict when they're going to get out. Mm-hmm. And, they're often disappointed because they do that. So one of my daily little micro doses is, even though I might be interested in when I'm going to get out, I try not to look at anything or try not to second guess, or and I'll just let it unfold. If they need me, I'll stay as long as I'm needed. And if it's late in the day, it's late in the day. You know, I won't, because the worst thing to do is walk in expecting to get out early, and then there's all kinds of work to be done that comes in. So like, that's a little practice that I do.
Yeah, that's a fantastic one. Yeah, I think when we extrapolate that practice out to the world of business, it might look like putting our focus on our inputs and our habits more than our goals. And in my experience, that builds more joy and more creativity. So it's definitely embracing uncertainty. We don't know how much money we'll make this year. We don't know how many clients we'll have, but we do know how we're going to show up and what our habits are going to be and what our mindsets are going to be. And so that inner circle, what can we control? So I wonder if, and that's exactly what this article is saying, is that now they've been able to link embracing uncertainty to flourishing. And so if we're letting go of believing that we can know with certainty, that we can have more flourishing and more joy. I loved in the article, Dr. Dugas, who studies anxiety and eating disorders and depression, instead of actually treating the anxiety, the depression, the eating disorder, he goes under it and treats the aversion to uncertainty. And he teaches people in those 12 sessions how to embrace uncertainty. And those lasting results, you know, a year out, those people are healed. So I think it's pretty fascinating. There's I think, a lot to love about uncertainty, holding the tension, learning to live in the messy middle and move through it. What do you think is lovable about uncertainty?
Oh my goodness. These are great questions. I think that reliance on uncertainty can be the source of freedom and happiness. Uncertainty is a cause for a lot of suffering. Mm-hmm. So I think by shifting how you deal with it, mm-hmm. you can relieve a lot of that. So, I mean, I think that's something to love.
Yeah.
I think that really, I started to think this too, is uncertainty, an acceptance and trusting of the universe? Mm-hmm. And what is the relationship with uncertainty and spirituality and a belief in a power, a being?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and is, if this is love, I mean, another, and just to take this a different direction, is if you don't know what is coming, you said you still show up, but you kind of have to know how to show up mm-hmm. too. And if you will always show with love and compassion
mm-hmm.
and looking for clarity and bringing wisdom to the situation, then it doesn't really matter, you know, you have those tools and they're what you're bringing to the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And if you bring those, I think that's where the growth comes. That's where the joy comes, where you find things like finding the patient that tells you something interesting that you might not have brought up because mm-hmm. you were averse to them or mm-hmm. didn't want things to go that way, or staying till the end of the day, but doing something really fun that if you got out early, you wouldn't have had that experience. So I think there's a lot to take here. I think it makes life more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is really important. Like if life isn't interesting, it's kind of like, what is it? It's kind of like drudgery then.
Yeah.
So I believe, you know, if you knew your whole path to the future, what would it be like? Is it, it's almost like it's better not to know. Mm-hmm. Like, I think if we really were given the option of knowing how things were all going to turn out, we probably wouldn't really want that. Like, we might want it for selective things,
mm-hmm.
but I think that's another reason to love it.
I love what you're saying about is embracing uncertainty somehow a spiritual act or a belief in the universe, you know, sort of pro-noia, you know, the universe being out to help you. I wonder if it isn't also a practice in inner authority. So in having faith in yourself. So I don't know if I'm going to get that job. I don't know if that person is going to fall in love with me. However, I do trust myself that I'm going to show up, as you said, with compassion, with love, with rigor, discipline, kindness, all of those things. And that's what I can put my faith in, although I have no idea how the outside world is going to take it, you know?
Right.
So I think that might be part of learning to hold the tension and live in a world that is, you know, VUCA and, you know, volatile and uncertain, is what if I double down on what I can control, which is basically my mindsets and some of my habits as well. So, but I loved, you know, I loved the way she began the article, which was basically embracing uncertainty for her allowed her to interrupt catastrophizing. Her friends hadn't invited her to her daughter's wedding, and she sort of climbed the ladder of inference. Oh, this person doesn't like me anymore. And so that was going down a whole path, and they were going to lose their friendship. But she said, you know what? Instead, I'm going to embrace that I don't know what her rationale was. I'll never know. And it seemed like even by the end of the article, she still didn't know why she wasn't invited to that wedding. And she was okay with it.
Yes.
So how much more forgiving we can be if we embrace uncertainty, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think she stepped into it and was able to come out learning from that experience. And I think it creates a suppleness of your mind to microdose
mm-hmm.
or to throw yourself into the situation. Mm-hmm. And the more supple your mind is, the more you're comfortable with going to those places. So I think there's value in practicing being okay with uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that it makes you more supple. It takes you out of your normal thoughts that you figured everything out and you know what's best and the universe doesn't know what's best
mm-hmm.
yet. And it allows, it trains you to welcome or embrace the things that arise in the uncertain.
Mm-hmm. We've been working with our clients, whether they're leaders or around culture shaping, on how do we create cultures that embrace uncertainty, knowing that mm-hmm. they can be supple, agile, opportunistic, entrepreneurial, and we use the word surfing. It's like surfing as a leader or as an organization. How are we going to see this wave that shows up in the moment, size it up, and then think about how to have fun with it,
right.
You know, and how to jump into it. So I loved in the article when Paul Hahn of the National Cancer Institute talked about developing a culture of uncertainty tolerance. So he's creating a culture of uncertainty where open-mindedness, flexibility, and curiosity are prized. And so, you know, I'm always thinking about this too. As a leader, how can we keep our organizations high-performing and organized, and in healthcare, super organized, but also loving uncertainty? So how do we do that? Do you have any little or big examples of how we can do that as leaders, as culture shapers?
My, that's great. I would say, just as an individual, I'd say listen more.
Mm.
Again, don't come with preconceived ideas, but show up and listen to what comes out.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say be curious,
mm-hmm.
like have to cultivate this curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
And I try as a leader to create an environment that encourages curiosity and listening and less didactics. And another thing that you brought up, Kedron, is like planning and strategy, and maybe not so much thinking about predicting what's happening, but to cultivate your workforce to respond to anything that could happen in difficult times or things that happen that are uncertain, like so that they're prepared for not, they don't have to predict uncertainty, they don't have to predict and manage it, mm-hmm. but they will be prepared in their own ways, as or you as your company, to think of ways, how can I prepare for these goals if some happen and if some don't, as opposed to we must meet these goals or these, you know, if we don't meet them, we haven't been successful.
Mm.
And are we going to reward people based on goals, which is maybe based on our thoughts that we can predict the future? Like, let's not do that. Let's do it on how resilient are we, you know, and that may vary year to year, or month to month. And, you know, so like a totally different mindset, mm-hmm. I believe, than what we're working with now.
Yeah. Well, Chris, I'm so grateful to you for being part of this movement of helping others in the workplace to enhance their individual and collective team performance. And thank you, listeners, for downloading The Behaviorist. We hope you'll subscribe, and always feel free to contact us through our website, workwisdomllc.com, where you can enjoy Work Wisdom Press and productions, and you can ask questions and make suggestions of topics you'd like to explore in future episodes. So, as is our custom, we'll leave you with a quote. And this one is from Temple University professor John Allen Paulos. Uncertainty is the only certainty there is. And knowing how to live with insecurity is the only security there is.